Tonight is February the 3rd, and we are still continuing with our creation class. We were in Toldos. We are on pages 138 and 139. And we are about to begin Pasuk Chavches, verse 28, which is the actual blessing that Yitzchak gives to Yaakov, who is masquerading as Esav. And let's remind ourselves of the points that we've made up until now, and that is that we showed that Yitzchak was well aware that Esav was not his righteous son. We understood that because Esav married women who were very hurtful and difficult to Yitzchak. Yitzchak was well aware that Esav had difficulty with righteousness. He was no tzaddik. And then we pointed out that the reason why Yitzchak felt he should still give the blessings to Esav is because Esav was his oldest son, Beno HaGadol, the older son. And it is for this reason that Yitzchak believes that he needs to give the blessings in the proper order, which means you give them to the older son, not to the younger son. And we also showed that Rivka pointed out to Yaakov that the reason why Yitzchak was giving the blessing to Esav is because Yitzchak believes that Yaakov and Esav are achim, are brothers, and they can act as brothers. And since they can act as brothers, therefore, Esav can get the blessing, and still, even though he was not so righteous, but with the influence of Yaakov, together they can be a team, and they can work properly. Well, let me finish on the same. But Rivka knows that this can't possibly be true, because Rivka knows the prophecy that she got, and only she got, that Esav will never be able to work together with Yaakov. And therefore, she is trying to get the blessings for Yaakov. And so, she devises this scheme to have Yaakov sneak in and take the blessings, and he's masquerading as Esav. Rivka is the only one who can create this whole scheme, because she's the only one who knows the prophecy. Nobody else knows it. As we pointed out, even Shem, the one who had told her the prophecy, has since passed away. So she is the only person in the world who knows about it and is ready to change history. And that's where we're at right now. Yes?
Why Yaakov didn't say that Esav gave out this firstborn right?
Why he didn't say it here? I don't know why Yaakov didn't say it. I don't know. I don't know why he didn't say it. I don't know if he. I don't know why he didn't tell his father that Esav had sold the Bechorah to him. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question. What you're suggesting is that maybe if he would have told his father would have said, "Okay, so then you get the bracha."
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that question. It's a good question. Okay. So what is the blessing? This is very important. So it's very important to be clear about what is the blessing that Yitzchak gives to his son Yaakov, thinking that this son is really Esav. So this meaning, what we're going to read right now is the blessing that Yitzchak really wants to give to Esav. This is the blessing. So the pasuk says, the verse says, V'yitem l'chaha Elokim, and God should give you mital hashamayim, from the dew of the heavens, umishmane haaretz, and from the fat of the ground, verov dagon v'sirosh, and much grain and wine. Ya'avducha amim, nations should serve you, v'yishtachavu l'chal umim, and again, nations should bow to you, or kings should bow to you. Havei gevir la'achecha, you should be the leader. You should be you should be in charge of your brother. The yishnach avu l'cha b'nei imecha, and the children of your mother should bow to you. Orarecha arur, those who curse you should be cursed. Umavarechecha baruch, and those who bless you should be blessed. That is the blessing. So let's recap the blessing. Hashem should give you all kinds of material prosperity, from the dew of the heavens, the fat of the ground, much grain and wine. So there's material prosperity, A. And B, nations and kings should serve you, and you should be the leader of your brother. You should be the two of you. You should be the gvir. You should be the leader, the one in charge between you and your brother. And the children of your mother should bow to you. And finally, so that's a separate thing. And then finally, those who bless you should be, those who curse you should be cursed, those who bless you should be blessed. This is the blessing that we got from Yitzchak. Yaakov gets from Yitzchak. But Yitzchak really thinks he's giving this to Esav. So in his mind, this is going to Esav. The most striking point about this blessing, which is extremely important to note, is the third word. V'yitem lecha ha'elokim, which means God should give to you. It doesn't say V'yitem lecha Hashem. It doesn't say God's name. It says ha'elokim. What is the difference between using the term Elokim or using the name of God, Yud, and then Hey, and then Vav, and then Hey, the Adon name? What's the difference between the two names? Why choose the term Elokim rather than the term Yud, K, Vav, K?
One's justice.
Okay, one is justice.
And the other is mercy. Mercy.
Which is which?
Elokim, mercy.
Elokim is justice. Elokim is justice. Yitzchak uses the name of God, which is the name of justice, the name of judgment, Elokim. Not the name of mercy. Normally, when you give a bracha, you would tend to use the name of God of mercy. When we bless our children, then we also use the term of judgment. We say, Yivarechecha. What do we say? We say, Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim Lechim Enasha. That's what he said for children of Friday night. But then, in the blessing that needs to be explained, but in the blessing that the Kohanim give to us, that the priests give to us, and we give to our children, we say, Yivarechecha Hashem V'yishmerecha. Ya'er Hashem Panavilecha V'yichunecha. Yisa Hashem Panavilecha V'yasim Lecha Shalom. We use the name of mercy of God three times in the blessing. The classic Jewish blessing, which is the priestly blessing, invokes the name of Hashem three times. The name of mercy, which makes sense. If you're giving a blessing, wouldn't you want to use the name of mercy? But Yitzchak chooses the name of judgment. Now remember, Yitzchak represents the attribute of God of judgment, of justice. That's the attribute that he represents. Yitzchak, unlike his father Abraham, who represents chesed, represents kindness, Yitzchak represents din, judgment, justice. Toe the line. This is the way it is. That's the way Yitzchak represents. The ability to do exactly what God says and don't waver from it. That's what Yitzchak represents. This is the blessing that he is passing on to his son, he thinks, Esav. which means, a person has a son. This child is unfortunately a spoiled child. The child does not do what is right. The child whines, the child gets whatever they want. The parents decide we've had it. We cannot go on like this. The child is going further and further off the deep end because the child is so spoiled. The child has no idea how to deal with rejection, how to deal with difficulties, with challenges, because everything is handed to the child in a subtle fire. So the parents say, we need to train our child to deal with difficulties. We can't just give him everything he needs. But we've been spoiling him for so long. How can we simply pull back? What are we going to do? Throw the child out of the house and say, just fend for yourself? How can we do that? That doesn't solve the problem. Then the child will be rejected, the child will be hurt, and who knows what will happen. So the parents decide this is what we're going to do. We're going to develop a new method with our child. We're going to go to our child and we're going to say as follows. We love you. We want to give you all that you need. We want to give you all that you want. But from here on in, you need to earn it. From here on in, you need to show that you deserve what we give you. If you act properly, if you do your chores, if you get good grades in school, we will shower blessing upon you. We will give you all that you want. But from here on in, if you do not act properly, then we close the tap. Then we don't give you. From now on, we're going to make it conditional on your performance. That's the way to stem this tide of a child who is simply continually and continually getting what they want and not performing. That is a method of dealing with a child who has been spoiled. Yitzchak says to Esav, he thinks it's Esav, I'm going to give you a blessing because I love you, because I want you to be a part of what God has in mind for the rest of the world, the rest of history. I want you to be a player in what is going on. And I want you to have blessing. But it is not going to be unconditional. It is going to be with the attribute of God of judgment. Not mercy. I don't want to give you the attribute of mercy, because you will abuse the attribute of mercy, as you have demonstrated in your life until this time. For the first 63 years of your life, Esav, you have not been a tzaddik. You have not been righteous. I still believe in you, Esav. I haven't given up hope for you. I still believe you can be a player. You can be a part of the team. You and Yaakov. But it's going to be conditional, because you need to demonstrate that that's what you can do. I know you can do it, Esav. I want you to live up to it. And so he gives him a wonderful blessing. All the material blessings of the world. Not only that, but the power over the rest of the world. Nations will bow to you. Even your brother will pay homage to you. You will be the leader. Your brother will be subordinate to you. Those who curse you will be cursed. Those who bless you will be blessed. Everybody will want to be your friend. But this is all conditional on judgment. You need to live up to it. It is not without strings. That's the blessing that Yitzchak has given to who he thinks is Esav. This is the most telling part of what Yitzchak has in mind. This, more than anything else, shows that Yitzchak knew full well who his son Esav was, because he made the blessing conditional. However, the blessing didn't go to Esav. The blessing went to us. So what does that mean for us?
We have
a conditional blessing. We got a conditional blessing. We weren't supposed to get the blessing at all. And instead, we got a blessing. But it's not carte blanche. We got a blessing with strings attached. We got a blessing, but it's contingent on our performance. Now, there's going to be more than one blessing. This is the first. We're going to see three different blessings that come from Yitzchak. This is the first. We're going to see two more. One is going to go to Esav, and there's going to be another one to Yaakov. We're going to get to those, and they're going to be different. This is the first. And this is the one that reveals the most about what Yitzchak had in mind.
Duh. You know, I was kind of thinking about this from last week. And I kind of had a different spin.
Go ahead.
And I kind of thought that because Yitzchak was questioning so much about who was coming to him, that I think in my mind that maybe he knew all along that it actually is Yaakov. And he was going to play along with it because he knew it wasn't proper for him to give Yaakov the blessing. He had to give it to Esav. So he's going to play along with the charade and say, okay, it's Esav, and I'm
going to... I got you.
Now, and the reason for that is, you said that Esav was not kind of the way Yitzchak was. He was, and he says, Hashem... Yaakov says Hashem gave
sounds,
it to
sounds,
them.
Right.
That's not
the way Esav talks. Right.
That's not an Esav way to talk. And then now that what you said kind of reinforces this in a way, because Yaakov is the good guy. He's nice. He's kind. He's has a lot. He's merciful.
Like all of us in this room.
Like all of us in this room. And what he really, what he really needs is the being strong, being able to judge people and do the things like Yitzchak, be strong and go according to the rules, and this is what you have to do, da 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 da. And so he's giving Yaakov that blessing which Yaakov is deficient in. And so now Yaakov will have his natural kindness, okay, and chesed, and now he's got the blessing from his father to be strong.
I totally agree.
I like the approach, because it is giving Yaakov what he needs. I like the approach. The only thing that's going to be difficult to work out with that approach, we haven't seen yet, is that later when Yitzchak finds out that it was the wrong child, it says that he had a tremendous trembling and fear. It seems that there's a shock when he discovers it. So if he knew all along, he shouldn't be shocked. But I still like the approach, because even though I don't think Yitzchak knew, but God is definitely setting things up over here. And God is giving to Yaakov what Yaakov needs. And that's one of the things which we have, which it's going to take till the last point where we're going to tie it all together and show, why does it have to be this way? Why does it have to be that the way that Yaakov gets the blessing is through this masquerade and the whole charade, etc. And that's going to be play into exactly what you're saying. So the approach is good, but I don't think that Yitzchak knew, because he's shocked in the end.
Yeah. Why does the bracha start with the word "and"?
Yeah, so the Gemara asks this question. See, Dr. Gross is asking, you don't normally start a sentence with "and." And God should give you. V'yitem lecha, and God should give you. So the Talmud says, Rashi really cites it, that the vav here, "and," means he should give and continue to give. It's like in the middle. He should give you and give you and give you and give you and give you. The "and" is, it's a non-stop. It's forever. Just, you can just, it'll be showered down upon you, and there'll be no end to it, provided you live up to it. That's the "and."
Does he have to live up to it, or do each of us have to live up to it?
Okay, well, I would imagine we have to live up to it as a nation. The Esav, the person, would have to live up to it.
Right.
His descendants, the nation, would have to live up to it. And now it's us. Yaakov has to live up to it, and his descendants, we have to live up to it. All right, let's proceed. Pasuk Lamed, verse 30. Vayihi kasher kila Yitzchak levarech es Yaakov. This is where it gets really dramatic. And it was when Yitzchak finished blessing Yaakov. Vayihi ach yatzo yatza Yaakov. And it was, but Yaakov had just left from me'es pnei Yitzchak from before his father Yitzchak. Yitzchak aviv, Yitzchak his father. The Esav achiv bami tzedo. Esav, his brother, came from his hunting. Just as Yaakov leaves, If you were casting the play, you would have Yaakov just slip out, and all of a sudden Esav walks in, just missing Yaakov. Now, Esav doesn't go straight into his father, he has to go prepare the food. But Esav walks into the house, just as Yaakov, can you imagine, if Esav would have walked in and met Yaakov coming out, Yaakov is dressed in the skins, and he's wearing Esav's clothing, Esav is carrying his weapons. Can you imagine what would have happened?
You got a clock.
It would have been a tremendous battle. Now, Yaakov is a very, very powerful man, as we know from later. Yaakov is a very strong man, but he was not a hunter. He was not armed. So what would have happened, I don't know. But he just missed him. Yaakov just stepped out, Esav steps in. And now Esav's on the scene, and now the Esav has to prepare the food. So it says, Lamed Aleph 31, Fayaz gamhu matamim. He also made delicacies. And I imagine he put on his clothing after that, that yet now had been hung back up in the right place. Vayaveh le'aviv, and he brought them to his father. Vayomer le'aviv, and he says to his father. Now look how he speaks. Yakum avi, my father should get up. V'yochal mitzei b'no, and eat from the hunting of his son. Ba'avot tvarchani nafshecha, so that your soul should bless me. He doesn't say, as Yaakov said, please come and sit down. He says, my father should get up.
So he's conditional. I'll give you the food and he'll give me the blessing.
Okay, good, good. So Esav is speaking the way Esav talks. Now he sounds like Esav. Vayomer lo Yitzchak aviv. Yitzchak, his father, said to him, mi ata, who are you? Vayomer, and he said, ani bincha v'charcha Esav. I am your son, your firstborn, Esav. Now, so far, Esav expected this. Because remember, Yitzchak asked Yaakov who he is before anything. And we pointed out, because Yaakov and Esav sound the same. And Yitzchak can't see. So it's natural for Yitzchak to say, who are you? So here, Esav is perfectly fine with this question, who are you? And he gives the right answer. I am your son, your firstborn, Esav.
Rabbi, there's a big time element, because by the time you get the game, you have to cook.
Right. So there's some time over here prepared. Right. So Yaakov's already gone. Yaakov's, right? And now Esav has prepared the food. Let's say it's a few hours later, whatever it is.
Right.
And now he comes in with the meal, and he's ready. Okay? And Yitzchak's going about his business. Yitzchak doesn't expect this. He's done already. He's given the blessing. It's all over. And now this person walks in. Well, who is he? Who are you? And he says, I'm Esav. Vayecherad Yitzchak charada gedola ad me'od. It's many words over here. And Yitzchak trembled a great trembling very much. That's what I mean, the shock. There's an incredible trembling. Yitzchak has an incredible fear. Vayomer, and he says, Mi eifo, who, where, who had sad sayed, the one who hunted a hunting, Vayaveli, and he brought to me, Va'ochal miko, and I ate from all, Beterem tavo, before you came, Va'avarecheu, and I gave him a blessing, Gam baruchiyeh, he will also be blessed. How do they translate the word eifo? They translate it as, who, yeah, they said, okay, who, where? Who, where? Yitzchak is shocked, and he says, what's going on here? Who, where? The one who hunted the hunting, and he brought to me, and I ate from all of it, before you came, and I blessed him. He will also be blessed. This statement needs a lot of explanation. I'm just going to read a little further. So Yitzchak is shocked, and this is what he says. Kishmoa Esav is divrei aviv. When Esav heard the words of his father, vayitzak tzalka gidola umara ad meod. Again, a lot of words over here. And he cried out, a great crying and bitter, very much. Vayomer le'aviv, and he said to his father, barcheni gam ani avi, give me a blessing as well, my father. Vayomer, and he said, ba'achicha b'mirma, your brother came with Mirma can mean trickery, and mirma can mean cunning. It's probably the best word to use over here, cunning. Vayikach birchasecha, and he took your blessing. Vayomer, and Esav said, Hachi kara shemo Yaakov. Behold, it is because his name was called Yaakov. Vayakveni zephamayim, and he outwitted me, or tricked me, these two times. The word Yaakov and Vayakveni come from the same root. He has outwitted me, he has tricked me these two times. What are the two times? What do you mean two times? He tricked him once, he took the blessing. Es b'chora sila kach. First he took my firstborn, back in the beginning of the parasha. V'hine ata lakach b'chasi, and now he's taken my blessing. Vayomar, and he said, halo atzalt ali v'racha, have you not held back for me a blessing? Yitzchak, are there any more blessings? Vayan Yitzchak, and Yitzchak answered. Vayomar l'Esav, he said to Esav, Hein givir sam tivlach. I've made him your boss. I made him in charge of you. That blessing that I gave him, which was supposed to be for you, put him in charge. Ve'ez kol echav nasati lo la'avadim. And all his brothers, I've gave him as slaves. Ve'dagan v'sirosh smachtiv. And I have supported him with grain and with wine. U'lacha eifo ma'asebini. And for you, where? What should I do, my son? What can I give you? Vayomer Esav elaviv. Esav said to his father, Haviracha chasi lecha avi? Do you not have one blessing, my father? Barcheni gamani avi. Bless me also, my father. You can almost hear the wailing. Vayisa Esav kolo, and Esav lifted up his voice, Vayefk, and he cried. Esav is 63 years old, and he's getting worked up and worked up and worked up, and Yitzchak keeps answering, there's nothing left. I gave it all away to him already. And finally, Yitzchak says, is there nothing left? And he cries. What does that remind you of?
Small child.
How old of a child? Does it not remind you of a young child who's just getting worked up and then... What do you want to say? Vayan Yitzchak aviv, and Yitzchak his father answered. Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Hine mishmane ha'aretz yemo shavecha, behold, from the fat of the land will be your dwelling place, umital ha'shamayim me'ol, and from the dew of the heavens above. Now, chayabacha sichya, you will live on your sword, This is the famous verse. V'asalficha ta'avodin, you will serve your brother. V'haya ka'asher tarid, and it will be when you have cause to complain. How do they translate it?
You are aggrieved,
okay, when you are pained, ufarakta ulo me'al tzavarecha, and you will throw off his yoke tzuguzunt from upon your shoulders. So now, we're going to get to your question in a moment. So now, we have to understand, what is Yitzchak so afraid of? What is he so shocked about? What is he trembling, a very great trembling? And then Esav cries out this great and bitter cry. And he says, bless me also, my father. And they go back and forth. Yitzchak says, your brother came and took it. Already he took the blessing. Yitzchak says, oh, that's why his name is Yaakov, because he tricked me two times. First he took my Bechora, then he took my blessing. Don't you have another blessing for me? That's his second request. But he asked twice. First he said, give me a blessing. Yitzchak says, he had it already, I gave it to Yaakov. But he stole everything, don't you have one for me? Yitzchak says back, I gave him, he's in charge, I gave him grain and wine, what do I have left for you? Esav says, isn't there one more blessing for me? And he cries out, third request. And then Yitzchak answers. After Esav asks for the third time, don't you have another blessing? Finally, Yitzchak finds in himself another blessing. And he says, you'll have the fat of the land, the dew of the heavens, you'll live upon your sword, but you'll serve your brother. But when you are aggrieved, when you're in pain, you'll be able to throw his yoke off from upon you. The questions we need to answer are, and it's going to be difficult to get it all in time, but the questions we need to answer are, what is Yitzchak so upset about at first? What is Esav so upset about? And what is this give and take? Request number one, he took everything. Request number two, I already gave everything to him. Request number three, okay, here's a blessing. Why does it take three requests? If there's anything left over, why couldn't Yitzchak have given it to Esav right away? And if there's nothing left over, which Yitzchak keeps saying, there's nothing left, Esav, there's nothing left. So how come when Esav whines for the third time, Yitzchak relents? Isn't that the worst thing to do when the child is throwing a tantrum? Don't you not give in? Isn't that the best way to handle it? Don't give in. What is Yitzchak doing over here? What is he giving in for after the third time? Either give it away right away or don't give in at all. What is the give and take over here? Yeah.
In the beginning, Esav says that Yaakov has his birthright. So now the situation is clear for Yitzchak and for Esav that Yaakov received this blessing on his right.
Perfect. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. But that's not until the second statement. But you're right. That is true. Once Esav says that, Yitzchak knows that it was correct to give the blessing to Yaakov. Yes. Right. Okay.
Why doesn't Yitzchak question when he says, he took away my birthright?
What is the question?
He doesn't question it.
Yeah,
what do you mean he took it away? How could that have happened?
Right.
You know, he just...
The Gemara says, the Talmud says that there was more of a discussion. As he said, he took away your birthright. He said, well, how did that happen? And he explained to him what happened. I sold it to him. He was, you know, the whole thing. And Yitzchak came to understand that it was fair and square that Yaakov got the birthright.
But then it sounds like it's switching. Instead of Yaakov got the dew first. And
yeah.
Then the,
yeah. Good.
The
good. Good.
Spiritual and then physical.
Good.
And this is reversed.
Good. Okay.
Do we learn from this that we're supposed to ask, like, the forgiveness three times? Is that complete, or is that...
No. What is happening here is a major change in the order of the world in Yitzchak's view. Remember I told you, I believe it was last week or two weeks ago, that Yitzchak, you know, he's 123 years old. Yitzchak has a world view that he has believed for the past 63 years since the birth of his twins. And here, he is given the cold, hard truth about Esav. And he reacts in an incredibly nimble way. He changes everything. His whole paradigm is totally shut down, and almost immediately Yitzchak has a new paradigm and is able to work within it. And I'll show you what happens. You have to follow this carefully.
So is this a test then?
For Yitzchak?
For Esav, to see if he really deserves.
No. You'll see. It's a little different than that. Watch what happens. Yitzchak, when he hears this, back in Pasuk, Lamed Gimel 33, Yitzchak trembles a tremendous trembling very much. Our sages tell us, Yitzchak saw Gehenim. He saw purgatory opened up beneath him. He saw he was about to fall. He, personally, Yitzchak, was about to be cast down into Gehenim. Now, we don't believe in Gehenim the same way that the Christians do. We don't have the same view of it. We look at it as a purification place where a person is purified for what they've done wrong. But Yitzchak is seeing a tremendous sin that he did wrong. What's the sin? I gave the blessing to the wrong child. This blessing, which is so central to the history of the world, and I've ruined it. I've given the blessing to the wrong one. Everything is ruined. All of what God has in mind, which was for me to take care of, I was the steward over the blessing, and I have destroyed it. How could I have done this? How could I have ruined things? He begins to tremble and shake. He's terrified. Look what I've done wrong. And he says, who's the one who came, who had hunted the hunting, and he brought to me, and I ate from all of it before you came, and I blessed him? Why is he saying all of this? Why is Yitzchak recounting the whole story? We know what happened. Why does Esav care what happened? He says, the one who hunted the hunting and brought for me, and I ate from all of it before you came, and I blessed him. He will also be blessed. Why is he recounting all of that?
Trying to placate the error that he made.
Well, why did he want the food in the first place? Remember what we said, why he wanted the food in the first place?
To feel better.
Okay, to be in a good frame of mind. So Yitzchak is speaking it all out. He came, he hunted the hunting, he prepared the food, I ate from all of it. Rashi tells us, I tasted in the food all that I wanted to taste. It was the perfect food. It was the perfect delicacy. It put me in the most perfect frame of mind to give a blessing. Before you came, and I blessed him, he's also going to be blessed. I can't reverse the blessing. I was in such a perfect frame of mind. That blessing was given with such beauty, such perfection. It's not being reversed. There's no way to get around it. It was given. It's done. Finished. It happened. He'll be blessed. So his first response to Esav is, as you said, there's no going back. It was done. But he's trembling. He's scared because he knows he did something wrong. When Esav hears this, he cries out a great and bitter cry. And he says to his father, bless me also, my father. So now Yitzchak has to respond. Yitzchak says back, your brother came. Esav's response makes sense. Give me a blessing also. Good. You can't take back what you gave him, but there must be another one for me. That's what Esav is saying. Okay, fine. I concede that. You gave it. You were in the perfect frame of mind. It's done. Fine, but give me one also. There must be one for me. Meaning, why can't we both have the blessing? If the blessing was just, oh, you'll get wealth and you'll get food and you'll get good health, why can't you give that to two people? So, Yitzchak says back, your brother came with trickery and took your blessing. Meaning, the blessing I gave to him was the blessing which was perfect for you. Your brother came with trickery and took your blessing. Meaning, I can't give you another blessing because the blessing I gave to him was crafted perfectly for you, Esav. There is nothing else I can do for you because that was for you. That was for the Esav that I know. That was for you perfectly. There's nothing else that can be done anymore. Esav says back, oh, that's why they called him Yaakov, because he tricked me these 2 times. He took my birthright, and now he took my blessing. And he said, haven't you left for me a blessing? Now, Why is Esav admitting that Yaakov took the birthright? Why is he admitting it? Why doesn't he come back and say, oh, he stole it, he doesn't deserve it? Why is he admitting the birthright part of it? Why get into that? Why isn't that just shooting himself in the foot? He's admitting, basically, that it was correct to give it to Yaakov. But Esav is a lot smarter than that. Esav's no dummy. He's smarter than we are. He knows what's going on. He says to his father, you crafted that blessing for me thinking that I was the firstborn. But Yaakov took the birthright from me. I'm not the Esav you thought I was. I'm not the firstborn. He had the birthright. So there must be a blessing for me also. Meaning, whatever you were going to give to Yaakov, give to me. You gave him what you were going to give me. Okay, fine. So give me what you were going to give him. Because we reversed ourselves. So it's got to be something. That's a valid argument. Isn't that a strong argument? Okay. Yitzchak responds, and he says to Esav, I made him the gvir. I made him in charge of you, and I made all his brothers for him as slaves, and I gave him the grain and the wine. What do I have left for you? Now, let's stop right here. What do you mean? Doesn't Yitzchak have a blessing for Yaakov? And the answer is he does have a blessing for Yaakov, meaning the person who he believes is Yaakov. Not the blessing he accidentally gave to Yaakov, but he did have something for Yaakov also. Yitzchak originally had two blessings. One for Esav, which he gave to Yaakov, and one for Yaakov. Esav is saying, well, give me the one for Yaakov. But here's the catch. The one for Yaakov, which is going to be at the end of the parsha, and I'm going to ask you to skip ahead. I'm going to ask you to skip ahead so we can read the blessing that was meant to be for Yaakov. Starting on page 142, verses 3 and 4. V'kel shaka yivarecho scha, and God should bless you. V'yafrecha, he should make you fruitful. V'yarbecha, he should make you multiply. V'yisal likalamim, you should have many nations. You should be large, you should have a lot of people. Okay, that's just, you have a lot of people in your nation. V'yiten lecha es birkas Avraham. He should give you the blessing of Abraham. Lecha ulezaracha itach, to you and to your children with you. Now, what is the blessing of Abraham?
The stars and
It's not the dew. It's not the wine and the grain. It's not to be in charge. It's not to have people bow down to you. It's not all that. So what is it?
The generations of people that come after him.
Look at the next words. Lerishtecha es eretz migurecha asher nasan Elokim la'Avraham, to inherit the land of your sojourning that God has given to Abraham. The land of Israel is the blessing that was always set aside for Yaakov, that was never included in the blessing that was given, that meant to be given to Esav. Originally, Yitzchak's plan was, I will give the blessing that he gave to Yaakov to Esav, and I will give Eretz Yisrael to Yaakov. Why? Why? Because the land of Israel is not just the fat of the land, the dew of the sky, the grain, the wine, people bowing down to you, those who curse you are cursed, those who bless you are blessed. The land of Israel transcends all of that. Yes, there's that too. It's a flowing smoke. But what's the land of Israel? It is the land when you live in it, when you own it, when you develop it, when you attach yourself to it, you can serve God the best. It is where the Jewish people have the closest connection to God. The land of Israel is the vehicle, is the connection between this world and the spiritual world. As we've described it many times, it's like a funnel that comes down from the spiritual world to the land of Israel, specifically to the Temple Mount, and that's where spirituality spreads to the rest of the world. That land was always meant for Yaakov, because Yaakov, Yitzchak knows, is the spiritual one. Give Esav material wealth, give him the rest of the world, give him power, give Yaakov spirituality. And together, They will be a team that is unstoppable. Yaakov will ensure that Esav has a spiritual bent, and Esav will make sure that Yaakov is protected, that Yaakov has what to eat, that Yaakov is able to serve without being bothered. Esav will station armies all around Israel to fight against all the enemies of God, so that Yaakov can serve with purity and with holiness. And together, they will act as the center of history. They will enable God's plan to take place. That's Yitzchak's plan. But he gave the blessing to Yaakov instead. So Esav says, well, give me what you were going to give to Yaakov. Says Yitzchak, Esav, you don't understand. What I was going to give to Yaakov, I can't give to you. It doesn't matter who the firstborn is. You're right. You're not the firstborn. So you're right that you didn't deserve that blessing because you're not the firstborn. But I can't give you what I was going to give to Yaakov, because just as the blessing I gave to Yaakov was tailored for you, the blessing I was going to give to Yaakov was tailored for Yaakov. That blessing will mean nothing to you. You don't want the land of Israel. You don't want spirituality. You're looking for wealth. You're looking for power. You're looking for grain and wine. That's what you're looking for. I don't have any of that left to give you. I gave that all to Yaakov already. So it doesn't matter that you switch places. What do I have left to give you? There's nothing left. That's what Yitzchak responds to Esav. Now, if you have, I just want to follow all the way through, then we'll stop for questions. Okay? So what's the next step? Esav says back to his father. I'm now, I'm back on 140. I'm now in Pasuk Lamed Ches 38. Vayomer Esav el Aviv. Esav says to his father, fine, forget the blessing you had in mind for me, and forget the blessing you had in mind for him. Habarocha achasi lecha avi. Isn't there one more blessing, my father? Barcheini gamani avi. Give me also a blessing. So first he asks for his own blessing. Yaakov says, I can't give it to you. I gave it away already. Then he asks for Yaakov's blessing. He says, I can't give it to you either. It's not for you. It's for him. So he says, fine, forget it. Give me something else. And here's the key phrase. Vayisa Esav kolo vayefk. He raised up his voice and he cried. The commentaries point out, this is the first time in history, recorded in the Torah, that someone saw materialism, physicality, as being so important that it was worth crying for. See, crying is a powerful, powerful thing. When a person cries, what they're saying is, I'm lost. I have no place to turn. I can do nothing more. And I'm stuck, I'm lost, I need, and I can't have. So I cry. We cry when we feel helpless. That's when we cry. Esav has decided to cry over the physical world that he cannot have. That's what he cries over. This affects Yitzchak so deeply that he realizes now that his plan of Yaakov and Esav working together is impossible. Now he realizes that which his wife Rivka knew all along because of the prophecy that Yitzchak did not have. Now he understands Esav is not just not so righteous, but Esav cannot be a partner with Yaakov because Esav values physicality. He values it so much that he's willing to cry for it. And therefore, Yitzchak reverses everything and now gives a blessing to Esav. And it's a blessing which essentially condemns Esav to his role, which will only be a secondary role, not a primary role. Where Yitzchak had thought Esav and Yaakov could together play primary roles, but it will no longer be. Esav will have to play a secondary role to Yaakov. And this is the blessing he gives him. You'll have a dwelling place which has bounty. You'll have the fat of the land, the dew of the heavens. And you'll have things. You'll have you'll live by the sword. which means you'll have enemies, but you'll have the sword, you'll have your weapon, but you'll have to serve your brother. But when you have cause to be grieved, then you will throw his yoke off from upon you. In other words, your relationship with Yaakov will be an adversarial relationship. Not what I had in mind this whole time. I had in mind this whole time the two of you would work together as a team. I see now that's impossible. If you're going to cry over materialism, if that's what gets you to cry, if that's what hurts you, you can't really work together. And I see it's going to be an adversarial relationship. You do have a role to play, Esav, but it's secondary. And it is as an adversary to Yaakov. Now, we still need to explain how this adversarial relationship is going to work and what exactly is meant by when you have reason to grieve, then you can throw his yoke off. That's the next discussion. But here we're going to pause for questions. Go ahead. Harmon, you were next.
Yeah. Doesn't this part of the Torah create a problem in particular for Christianity, who they normally perceive Jews as deceptive to obtain something? And here, even though that's a purpose, I've heard this before.
Go ahead.
That deception is part of your religion.
Because Yaakov takes it from Esau. Yeah. Remember, it was Rivka who engineered the whole thing.
Right.
That's what we pointed out. Remember, Yaakov came back to Rivka and said, my father's going to feel me and see who I am.
Right.
And Rivka didn't say to him, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to address you. She just said to him, hey, I'm in charge over here. I'm telling you what to do. Go and do it. And he said, aye, aye, sir. Yes, ma'am. Right? So Yaakov is not the one who is engineering the plan. It's true that he's actualizing the plan, but it is Rivka who is the one who's doing the deception. So, if someone accuses us of that, it should be noted it was not Yaakov's idea. Now, why does the deception have to happen? We still haven't answered that question. The final question we have to answer, which is going to wait till either next week or the next time we meet, is going to be, then as I keep saying, why did it have to be this way at all? Why couldn't God just have given Yitzchak the prophecy that he gave to Rivka? And that way Yitzchak's on the same page and he knows Esav can't have this blessing, and he gives it to Yaakov properly, straight out. Why do you have to go through this whole business? So that's going to be the fight after we've worked through the rest of it. But right now what we're up to is to understand what is this relationship now going to be between Yaakov and Esav, and how does Esav's blessing work? So as I said, we have to stop a little bit earlier today.
Esav is Edom. Edom is Western
civilization? Esav is the Western civilization. It's Rome. No, Rome and Western civilization. Yes.